Hi guys, I'm Terry B, compulsive overeater and binge eater. But I'm going to say, first of all, I am Teresa. I am Terry. I am mom. I am grandmom. And I am Buttsy in that order. I come to you now with a totally blank mind. Every time I would think about this, my mind would be blank. So God, is going to tell me what to say, and I'm going to be as surprised as you are. Right before I start, I just went, and I have the only thing I have here, if I look off to the side, is page 58 and 59, how it works. I like to have the steps there. And this is my first time actually speaking outside of a face-to-face group with 12 people. I would like to just say this fear prayer. God, please remove my fears and direct my attention to what you would have me be and what you would have me say. I in thinking about this in the past few minutes when I tried to get quiet, I keep going to, you got to talk about your fifth step. You got to talk about your fifth step. But first of all, I just want to lay a little bit of groundwork. As a child, I don't believe I was born with a food addiction. I don't even know that I love food. It's not that. Food really served a purpose. I never knew emotions. There were never emotions in my family. I was the fourth child from parents that were immigrants from Italy. They did not go to school. My mother did go to school for 2 years. My father never did. I remember my father signing his name with an X. They were old when I was born. So I hate to use different. I feel like my childhood was unique, but to me, I didn't know anything different until I became of school age. I don't remember food being a problem. I was very normal sized at that age. But by the time I was seven, my siblings had all left the home, and it was me and my parents. And at that point, I started school. I was at a Catholic school, and I was introduced to God. God was at church. I went to church, I visited God, then I went home and God stayed at church. That's how it was. And I didn't have anybody to interact with, and I did not realize at that time that there was something inside of me that started at probably the age of 7 or 8, that there was something missing. But I didn't know something was missing. There was something deep down inside of me, some corner of my heart and soul that was not getting nourished, that wasn't getting fed. My food, from about 7 or 8 until 16, I lived in a city, so there were corner stores everywhere. If I wanted constantly go get 5 cents would get me full size sugary stuff, 10 cents would get me a whole bag of sugary stuff. And love and affection in my household. My parents were in arranged marriage, so there was no love between them. It was for my mother to come to America. Love and affection was we had a clean house, there was food on the table. My physical needs were met. I never, ever heard the words "I love you" from my parents, and not because they just didn't know. There were never hugs, it was never, tucked into bed. You followed a process, and they were immigrants here. They followed a process. They needed to do what was expected of them. And that's the same process that I followed. I was a little overweight between the ages of 8 and 16. I feel that my my weight up and down and my food obsessions were all situational. It depended on how lifey life got. I liked someone shared lifey. And at 16, I met my who would be my husband, and I was thin then because someone paid attention to me. But yet, every time when we turned 18, for me, I at 18 I graduated high school. I was supposed to get a job, and I followed exactly what I was told to do. I was supposed to get a job and go to work. I did that, and then I was dating my husband. Well, your next progression was you were supposed to get married. While we were dating, we worked for the same company. I can remember my husband picking me up in the morning and me rummaging through his lunch and eating all his snacks. He never got his snacks because I didn't have that, but yet I wanted it. Okay. We did get married. That was the next thing. You were supposed to get married. I believe that when you get married at 20 and 21, the love that you share then is more physical love. I don't think you can actually really know deep down in your heart and soul love until you live together and you have children and you experience life together. So in my 20s, we did have our first child, and 6 years later, I had a daughter. So I had a son first and then a daughter. Food was there. I know that my weight was a little up, not a lot in my 20s, but I knew that when I had sugary foods and starches, I may have had a normal serving size, but my mind was on that food. I couldn't relate to what was going on around me. And as I hit my 30s, life started to get a little more lifey. Got busy with kids and everything. And once the kids came into the picture, I know for me, my focus was on being a mom. And, and since I didn't know how to do feelings, with my husband, they were physical feelings. With my kids, I did hug them and stuff like that. But I remember my mom saying to me, only hug your children when they're sleeping. What the hell that meant, I don't know. When my father died, they were putting his body in the ground and I was crying. My mother told me, don't cry. So crying was bad. And also during all this, I was an unwanted pregnancy. So even though she said it, oh, here's my mistake. I could have taken that jokingly, but because of these thoughts in my head, that mistake, I was bad. I wasn't enough. I wasn't loved. All these things were in my head, but I didn't know. I couldn't verbalize them. I didn't know how to verbalize them because I didn't do feelings. And so it progressed into my marriage. When my husband would hug me, he would hug me, and after a couple seconds, the hands would go up as if that's enough because feelings were coming in there and I didn't know how to react to feelings. But we were each other's best friends and we worked a business together. And then came my 40s. When I turned 40, life was good. I was had just finished Nutrisystem. I had lost 60 pounds, so life was good. And then at 42, life started to change a little bit. My mom, who I never heard, I love you, and I always was the mistake, and she didn't like because I had started to put weight on. Oh, you have such a pretty face. It's a shame that you're overweight. And at 42, my mom passed away at the same time that I needed to have a full hysterectomy, which caused my body, my hormones, to cause all kinds of changes. And I, they found uterine cancer. So I didn't know how to swallow all of that at once. And my husband was not understanding of that. As I would get emotional, he would look at me like, why are you crying? Or, you know, get over it. And to him, crying was weakness. So there again, shove it down. And as I shoved it down, the food was it. The food was my lid on my feelings. If I could eat enough food, I could keep that lid and I could snap it shut. They were never going to come out. And we had a business, and business started to get bad. And I did the financial end of it. So at night, I was the one that was awake, wondering how we were going to pay for things, me and my food. And I bring this up not because I want anyone. And let me backtrack. Still at that time, God was at church. I would go to church to visit God, and then I went home. I truly believe that my God was my husband, because even in the midst of us not communicating and everything, but if I would say to him, things were bad financially, Jim, are we going to be okay? If he said yes, I believed him. So he was my God. I saw that once I was in recovery. And it was in March of 2000. And I only bring this up because besides being a horrible day, it was the best day. I went into work that day and to find that my husband had taken his own life. And he had done it that I would find him. That was an out-of-body experience. How do you wrap your head around that? Again, though, I had to put the lid on it because I had a business. I had two kids in college. And finally they took me home. And I was walking a friend to the door. And I guess God knew that I had my husband as my higher power. And I felt God take me and say, I've got you. I've got your hand. I will never let it go. And here we are, April 9th, 2023. And he has never let it go. Through the years, I've tried to pull away. I try to pull away a lot. I was 49. We were both 49 at the time. So between 49 and 67, I ate and ate and ate. During that time, I lost one sister in 2010. Then I lost my other sister in 2018. And the following year, the same month, I lost my brother in 2019. And at that point, I had just come into OA. I had had the gastric sleeve. And I thought, I got it made now. You know, I had the gastric sleeve. Life's going to be good. Little did I know that that gastric sleeve did not fix my head. Okay. So I came in because of my daughter, her addiction. She's in a 12-step fellowship. Kept saying to me, Mom, she put the big book next to my chair. Mom, you really ought to try OA, you know. And that book was there for 6 months. Finally, I walked through those doors. I don't know why I walked through those doors. I had nowhere else to go, I guess. I had lost weight, but I had started to put weight back on. And I walked through those doors and I thought, wow, these people are saying what I feel. They understand. It took me 5 months to get a sponsor. I went into those rooms, but my thought was, they all get it. They're all recovered. They all have a program. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be able to learn this. I am not going to get this. I'm less than, I'm stupid. So for those 5 months, I just sat and listened. I would share where I thought I could share. Finally, I got a, thank you. Finally, I got a sponsor who put me through the 12 steps quickly. And at the end of those 12 steps, I still didn't know anything. I had abstinence from June 11th of 2018. I have not had processed sugar. And as far as the flour and everything, my problems were in identifying my yellow foods. But let me, I have to fast forward with only 5 minutes left. I finally, with the pandemic, started doing a big book study every day, and that saved my life. That is when my program went from here to here. It took a long time. And then I found the most amazing person that's to sponsor me. She accepted me unconditionally, with all my tears and with all, I have a crazy life. I really do. My life changes on a dime. And working the steps, I got stuck when it came. I realized that those first couple years, I was stuck because I made the decision to turn my will and my life over, but I wanted to hold on to a little bit. I hated the words, go to any length, because I knew in the back of my head I couldn't, I wasn't going to go to any length. So I need to share about my fifth step. After my fifth step, I said to my sponsor, I still feel like there is something so buried inside of me. I don't know what it is, but I'm afraid to even try to figure out what it is. And what I found through God's help was that from when I was a child, I had this internal loneliness, this that nothing could fill. I didn't know where I belonged. I didn't belong anywhere. I was a mistake. I was so many things. And through OA, I can verbalize today. I finally let that lid off. God helped me get that lid off. And finally, with my fellows here, I'm safe. And I can say, I am lonely. I'm not lonely around me. I am lonely inside. And I'm sad. And I want to cry. And I can cry. And thank you, God, that only with God here, and I got, and I have a personal God. I know that I have to, that God travels with me all the time, and I want to travel with Him all the time. Unfortunately, life does get lifey, and at times I am so centered.
2 minutes.
Thank you. And I could be so centered. And my disease just pushes me off, pushes me so hard because it wants to break that bond that I have with God, wants me to let go of His hand. But I'm not going to do it. I am grateful. I am so grateful that I've gotten the steps now in my heart and that I can live in 10, 11, and 12. I never knew what they were talking about, living in 10, 11, and 12. And when I got there, it was like, wow, this is awesome. This makes so much sense. And all I can say is that I'm grateful. I'm humble. And I have to work each day. I have to work hard. But I want to travel with God. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I know I need to help others. I know that. I'm trying. I'm trying. And the thing is that now I can say that I was willing. I am willing to go to any lengths. I want recovery. I want recovery more than anything in this world. And that I am living the life beyond my wildest dreams. And that's why I gave you all the names. I was Teresa as a kid. I was a mom. I was Terry, but I am comfortable. I like the nickname Butsy because to me, Butsy is my heart and my soul. Okay. That's about all I have to share. I'm sure I miss things. My chest feels like I need Xanax because I had so much anxiety, but my words were God's words. Whether they made sense, whether I rambled, this is what he wanted me to present to you today. Thank you so much.